Luke chapter 18. I read where David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord." And then he called Jerusalem the house of the Lord. Talking about the church, Jerusalem, this heavenly Jerusalem, the gathering of the Lord's people. And that's why he says we pray for it. That's where the tribes go up and offer thanks and go to the testimony of the Lord, where his testimony was in the ark. And here in Luke chapter 9, our Lord, Luke chapter 18 and verse 10, our Lord Jesus spoke about two men. Two men. And he says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ didn't tell fables. He didn't tell fables. He didn't tell things that he made up. When he talked about the rich man and Lazarus, he was describing hell and the consequences of it. And he's talking about how that it would be better to be poor in this world like Lazarus and to go enjoy the presence of the Lord forever and be like the rich man who had all of his good things in this world but had nothing but poverty in the world to come. And he talks here about two men. And he illustrates truth by truth. He talks about public worship. And our Lord Jesus taught nothing but pure truth. And he always illustrated these truths by other truths. He never invented a tale. He never told a fiction or told a story which wasn't a fact. And here he talks about two men. Two men. And I want to talk today, if I can, by God's grace, about the blessings. The blessings of public worship. The privilege. The privilege. And it's a privilege to worship God publicly. I was just reading yesterday afternoon about in India where Christians have their houses burned down. And the Hindus and the Punjabs, they kill them and slay them. Attack their places of worship and burn them down. It's dangerous to be a Christian in some places in India and Pakistan. It's dangerous to be a Christian in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran. Lots of places dangerous to be a Christian. And where you cannot go and worship like you and I do. So here we are in America. Wonderful building. Good soft seats to sit in. Good air-conditioned automobiles to drive here in. Got up and left a good air-conditioned home. Turned off our color television sets. Because what a blessing, what a privilege it is to gather to worship God Almighty. Oh, what a privilege. What a blessing. How many people do you reckon that has worshiped and get sick and can't go? How desperately they miss it. How desperately they miss it. But here our Lord talked about two men went up to the temple to pray. And they both did that. And one went away just like he came up. None the better. Went up a Pharisee, left a Pharisee. Went up praying with himself, went down listening to himself, feeling good about himself. The other went up, and he prayed too. But he went away justified. God justified that man. Cleared him of all of his guilt. Put away all of his sins. And told him that he was accepted of God. And as I heard Scott Richardson say, we're either a Pharisee or a publican. We're either bragging or we're begging. We're doing one or the other when we pray. We're either bragging or we're begging. And I'm not going to talk much or say much about this parable and teach much from it this morning, but I want to make just a few observations on public worship in the Lord's house. And you know, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to gather to worship God in public. Believers, for Christians, for believers, it's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. It's the good thing to do. It's to gather to worship God publicly. Two men went up to the temple. They went up there. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, all the apostles, all the men in the scriptures who were believers, they worshiped God consistently and constantly. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was a young man, they found him in the temple. Found him in there reasoning with the doctors of the law when he was just 12 years old. They went up to the feast. They went off, and 3 days later, they were, where was he at? They went back to find him, and there he was. He was in the temple. And our Lord Jesus Christ, not only him, but all the apostles, whenever they didn't have a public place to worship, like down in the Philippi, he went down to the riverside, Thessalonica, and he went down to the riverside. Because there, since they didn't have a public place of worship, the Jews would gather down on the riverside, and Paul went down there to pray and to worship with those people, and he began to preach to them there, and that's where God opened Lydia's heart. So you find the apostles, you find the saints of God, you find David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was so glad. And it's been the custom, it's been the privilege of all believers of all ages to meet for public worship in all times. And always have been. Let me show you when men first began to meet publicly to worship. Look over here in Genesis chapter 4. Let me show you something. You know, Abel and Cain, you know, when they went to offer sacrifice, they done that publicly. They done that publicly. They didn't go off to themselves and by themselves. Abel went one place and Cain went another place. There was a set place for men to meet and offer sacrifices to God. A place where men gathered to worship. And Cain and Abel went up there, and Abel was accepted and Cain wasn't. But what I'm trying to say is they had a public place to do it. They had a set place to do it. They had a time to do it. You just didn't come to God at any time you wanted to. They had set times and set places, and they had set means. And here's one time it says in Genesis 4:26, and said to him also there was a, and to Seth to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Now watch this. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And then the margin it says, then men began to call themselves by the name of the Lord. They began to gather together and worship together as a group of people, saying, we're believers in God Almighty. We're calling on the name of the Lord because we confess God to be our God. And oh, I'll tell you something, beloved. It's the nature of sheep. It's the nature of sheep to congregate. Sheep go in flocks. Cattle go in herds. Sheep go in flocks. They like to congregate together. And they like to feed in the same pasture. They like to enjoy the presence and care of their shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you this much, I know this much about believers. The more alone and more separated a saint is, the more alone they are, the more he'll love and need to gather with the Lord's people to worship. They desire that. They need that. They want that. And I'll tell you something, beloved. It's good for men to pray. And it's good for men to worship God privately. Pray privately. Have private worship. But I tell you something. If you don't do it privately, you won't do it publicly either. So, you know, if you don't worship home privately there, then you don't worship when you gather here. You're just fulfilling a duty. And I don't like the word duty at all. I love the word privilege. If you told me I had to do something, then that makes it hard on me. But when you tell me, oh boy, guess what we're going to do? We're going to set aside a time and God's going to give us a time to gather around His name, gather around His word, gather with His people, hear some preaching, hear some singing, call on the Lord, worship Him, learn some things about the Master. Going to have a preacher in. Oh my, tell me that. They're going to have a good meal. They're going to have some food to eat. I'm ready to go. And let me tell you why public worship is such a blessing. Such a blessing. And why it's such a privilege. And why we do it. First of all, when we gather to worship publicly like this, and what a blessing it is. It's an open confession. It's an open confession of our faith in God and our belief that we gather to worship, to pray, and to honor God by our public worship of Him. It's an open confession of our faith. Now, I know that people meet everywhere. That's what they're trying, that's what they want the world to know. But we gather to openly confess our faith. When we pull up here in this service, it's time, Sunday morning rolls around, it's time to go up and worship God. I want the other believers to know that I love God, I need God, and I confess my faith in God. I've gathered to worship Him. And I believe in prayer. I believe in meeting with the people of God. And it's an open confession of our faith. Now, if somebody's visiting with you, staying with you, and it's confessing faith, it's confessing your faith to them when you leave them at the house. It's confessing your faith to your husband. It's confessing your faith to your wife. It's confessing your faith to your neighbors. It's confessing your faith to me. And I'm confessing my faith to you. Now, ain't that right? I'm letting you know that this is my life. And we got a time set apart to do this, and we're confessing, oh God, we believe you. We believe your promises, and we want to go hear your promises. We want to go hear what you've got to say. We want to gather with the people of God, and we want to know that we believe you and worship you and confess you. Huh? And we go to worship publicly. And when we do that, we openly declare we believe in God. Let others do what they will. Go where they want to go. But we're going to gather to worship the Lord. Right. You see, I believe, and I'll tell you, God's people believe in the reality of our religion. It's a reality. Christ, who is our life.
Amen.
Huh? Oh my. And we believe in the power of godliness. And we believe in the usefulness of prayer. So before all men, openly, before all men, we gather ourselves to pray and to worship God. And I'll tell you what else about this worship and public worship. It's a good way of us uniting. Uniting in prayer. Uniting in one mind, uniting in one accord, uniting in one aim.
Yeah.
If we get together here, and I sit here sometimes, and my heart will just gets in a state, and I look out over people, and I say, oh God, please gather these people's minds in one direction. I just watch folks' minds just everywhere. And everything going on, and they just hear yonder and everywhere, and I say, oh God, please bring us together. Bring us together. Put our minds together. Put our hearts together. Put our intents together. Put our motives together. Put our desires together. Do that now, because God, if you don't, while I'm preaching, there ain't going to be but two or three people here. Anything else? Because our minds are everywhere. And oh my, here's a little while that we can gather together and leave off the world. Leave off our jobs. Leave off our sickness. Leave off our aches. Leave off our pains. Leave off our worries. Leave off our woes. Leave off our troubles. And oh my, have our hearts and minds lifted up by the Spirit of God to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and have His presence, to have His power.
Amen.
Oh my. Oh, if we meet together and worship together, then we'll weep together, we'll rejoice together, and we'll go through trials together, and we'll encourage one another together. Don't we? And oh, it's a blessed means, public worship, gathering the privilege of it, the blessedness of it. It's a blessed means of strengthening and quickening our hearts and our souls. Oh, when our souls and spirits are low. You ever get low? Does your soul and spirit ever get low? Does your body ever get low? Mind ever get low? How many times has the gathering with the God, the Lord's people, how many times has public worship quickened you?
Amen.
And there you was, you come crawling in here, dragging in here, so low, so down, so troubled, so worried, so weak. And while you're here, oh, while you're hearing the preaching, while you're worshiping God, while you're praying as the preacher's preaching, your soul, and you leave here 10 times, 100 times better than you. Encouraged, quickened, got some strength to go on.
Amen.
Huh? And oh, you gather and rejoice with the strong. Oh, Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee. At once they sing, at once they pray. They hear of heaven and learn Thy way. These two men, they did right to go up to the temple. That's the right thing to do. Our Lord Jesus did it. The apostles did it. The Old Testament saints did it. And God help us not to cease or forsake the assembling of ourselves for public worship. I know of places that I've been many times, and it just people started falling away and falling away and finding other places to go and things to do. They leave off Sunday night, they cancel Sunday night meeting. Or they cancel the Wednesday night because folks had someplace else to go, something else to do. I know several places like that. But our Lord said it didn't matter to the number.
That's right.
If there's 3 of us here, I'm going to preach. If there's 30 of us here, I'm going to preach. If there's 130 of us here, I'm going to preach. I'm going to meet. You know when I won't be here on Wednesday night? I'll either be on vacation or sick or somewhere else preaching. If I ain't going to be here on Sunday morning, I'll be somewhere else preaching. If there ain't no Sunday night, I'll be somewhere else preaching. Because I'm going to meet with the Lord's people. If they're 2 or 3 or 12 or 120 dozen, it don't make any difference. We gather to worship God. Huh? Ain't that right? To get some strength. And public worship. Now listen to me. Public worship is one of the means, in fact, the greatest means that God uses to bless His people and to even bless the world. You see, the church, and the church is you. When David said, I was glad when they said unto us, let's go into the house of the Lord, let us go up to Jerusalem. He's talking about gathering with the people of God. Zion, gathering with Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. See, the church is sustained. You, me, the church, we're people. This building is just a building. This is not a church. You are the church. I'm the church. It's a body with Christ as its head. And the church is sustained. The body is sustained. It gets its sustenance. It gets its food. It gets its strength. And it grows by the gathering together of the saints of God in public worship. God ordained that. That's the greatest means that God uses. And it's through the church, it's through us as the believers, that God accomplishes His purpose in this world. You're going to have missionaries? It's through us that they're supported. If people are going to be converted, it's going to be through the gathering of God's people. People coming in to hear the gospel. That's how it's going to be. God works through His church. And now look back over the years at the blessings. Look at all the blessings we've enjoyed. Oh my, the blessings we've enjoyed. We just went through this conference. Oh, what blessings. What blessings. How encouraging. How strengthening. Oh, how many blessings have we enjoyed together, worshiping God. How many times have our hearts been warmed? Our hearts been encouraged. Our hearts been strengthened. How many times have our minds been instructed and been taught? And our minds been opened with the things of Christ? The church is the place where the gospel is preached. The church is the place where Christ is made known. The church is the place where God's people are encouraged and fed and strengthened. And who in the world would dare to stay away from where God is? Where God is. You remember when our Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples in the upper room after he was raised from the dead, he was resurrected. And oh my, here come several days later, they told Thomas wasn't with them. They said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. We saw the Lord. The Lord was here, Thomas. Thomas said, I don't believe you. I don't believe what he, look what he missed by not being there. He said, in fact, because he wasn't there, because he didn't see it, he didn't experience, he didn't, had no effect on him. In fact, he said, I don't believe. That's how hard our hearts can get, just like that. I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I myself can see. And I can touch him and put my hand in his side and stick my fingers in the prints of the nails. I'm just not going to believe you fellas. How come he missed that? Because he wasn't with the Lord's people when they was gathered together worshiping God.
Amen.
Look what they, he missed Christ. That's how easy it is to miss Christ. Miss the worship, miss the blessing. Huh? And oh God, as long as we have legs to carry us, as long as we have health to use these legs, as long as we're still clothed in our right mind, let us be found gathering with His sheep and lay down in the pasture He's provided for us. And I'll tell you something else about this public worship, why it's such a blessing, such a privilege. Not only a confession of our faith, not only a means that God uses to our good, to get our strength, our sustenance, to quicken us. And the public worship here, gathering like we are, it's just a rehearsal of what we'll do in glory.
Amen.
That's all this is. It's just rehearsal. That's all it is. What we do here, that's what we're going to do through all eternity. Except the only difference is that we won't be wearing clothes like this. We'll be having only the righteousness of Christ. White linen clothes. Well, everybody there will be dressed exactly like in a white linen robe. Every single soul will be dressed exactly like. And not only that, but beloved, when we get there, we're going to sing. We're going to sing. And when we get there, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to teach us and instruct us. He's going to feed us. We're going to go in and out just like we do here. And it's just a dress rehearsal. If you don't enjoy this, and you don't delight in this, and you don't find this to be comforting and encouraging to you, then you won't enjoy heaven at all. You wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't do it. You know, this is what we do here, that's what we'll do there. What we delight in here, we delight in the gospel here, we'll delight in it there. We delight in the saints of God here, we'll delight in the saints of God there. We delight in the word here, we'll delight in the word there. We delight in worship here, we'll delight in worship there. We delight in Christ here, we'll delight in Christ there. And if we don't do those things here, we won't do it there either. That's just the long and the short of it. Huh? And oh my. I tell you, we need to, when we come to worship, when we come up to public worship, we need to come with a purpose. These two men had a purpose when they went up to worship. They went up to pray. They went up to pray. And we come for a purpose. Uh-huh. We come with a purpose. You know, we come to hear. We come to pray. We come to sing. We come to learn. We come for God to speak to us. I'm sure that you Before you came to the service, I'm sure that you said, Lord, meet with us today. I'm sure you said, Lord, speak to me today. I'm sure you said, Lord, whatever you got to say to me, say it to me today. Lord, I'm weak. Please give me strength. Lord, I've got a need. Please let the preacher say something about it. And oh my. So let's gather with a purpose. Let's gather with a purpose. And all these men come up to pray. One of them came up full of himself. The other came empty of himself.
Yes.
Let's come empty. Let's come hungry. Let's come thirsty. Let's come seeking. Let's come praying. Uh-huh. You know, there's no worship of God. There's no worship of God that's better than hearing a good sermon. A good sermon. But you know, if you're going to hear a good sermon, good preaching, then you need to pray for good preaching.
That's right.
If you're going to hear good preaching, you've got to pray for good preaching. Ain't that right? You'd get better preaching if you prayed better, I'd say. So, you know, I'll take the blame whenever I don't have anything to say. I'll take the blame with that. You know, but a lot of times the preaching depends, you know. That's what, you know what Mr. Spurgeon attributed his success to? Was his people praying. They said that there were men that would gather in the basement and they would pray for him in his preaching. Pray that, oh, God would bless his preaching. And how God did bless his preaching, untold thousands converted by his preaching. His books and his messages published more than anybody else's sermons ever. Read by more people probably than anybody, any preacher ever read it. But people, but still a blessing, yeah. And you see, that's, and so if you know nothing better than hear good preaching. But if you go hear good preaching, you got to do some prayer. And oh, if you pray for the preacher. But let me tell you that hearing a good sermon, hearing a good message, if it's well heard, you know what it does? That's why we need to pray for it and pray for the service. When you hear a good message, it puts faith. Your faith begins to go out. Your faith begins to operate. Because as you hear it, you believe it. You say, that's true. That's so. And then your love begins to operate. You say, I love that. Oh, what a blessing that is. That's true. Oh, I love that. I'll never forget that. And then you begin to be thankful as you hear it. And you believe it. And you love it. You say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for letting me hear that. Thank you for letting me be there and hearing what was said.
Amen.
So what it does when you hear a good message, it stirs up everything about you. It stirs up your faith, your love, your thankfulness, your emotions. And it makes you, as you hear that, say, oh Lord, help me to be that way, to honor you and live to your glory and live to your honor and heed what that preacher says and heed what his word says and live more to your glory. To be more of encouragement to the saints of God. To be more encouraging to my brothers and sisters. Don't that the way preaching does you? And oh my. When you come up to worship, come praying. Pray before you come. Pray while you're here. And you'll leave us up. You know, and I tell you, we don't gather just to worship just to get comfort and to be encouraged. Now, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing if we are comforted, if we are encouraged. That's a wonderful result of the Word of God. But that shouldn't be our main object together, to be comforted and to be encouraged. We need to draw near to God. Right? We need to draw near to God. We need to worship God. We need to call on God. Whether we get any encouragement I don't have to feel like I've worshipped in order to, just because I don't feel like I've worshipped, that I'm not going to continue to worship. Because I wasn't blessed in a particular service, that don't mean I'm not going to continue to come to the services. I'm going to worship God whether I feel like I'm worshiping, whether I have any emotions, whether I understand sometimes what's going on. We're going to worship God. So we gather to draw near to God. So our main object shouldn't be to gather together and give encouragement and comfort, though that's a blessed result. You see, it might be His will not to comfort you. It might be His will to rebuke you. He might rebuke you.
Yeah.
Huh? It may not be His purpose to cheer you up. It may be His purpose to bring you down. You may need to be brought down. And I tell you what, He can certainly bring you down. Huh? And here's what we should feel. Whether you picked up, whether you brought down, whether you rebuked, whether you cheered up, well, this ought to be the way you react to it. What I received, it come from God. If I was rebuked, God rebuked me. If I was encouraged, God encouraged me. If I was taught, God taught me. If I cheered up, God cheered me up. I prayed for Him to speak to me, so He spoke to me. I fellowship with the living God today, and I communed with my brethren today. What better could be better than that? Huh? What could be better than that? And oh my, here's what this publican, when he gathered here to worship, he teaches us what we're to say and to do when we go up to the Lord's house. It says there in verse 13, he smote upon his heart. He said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He confessed his sin. That's what we gather to confess our sin. We gather here because we're sinners indeed.
Amen.
We gather here because we're sinners, and sinners need a Savior. They need to hear of Him. You see, He's in heaven. That's why He stood afar off and wouldn't lift His eyes. He's in heaven. We're on the earth. And we bow down with awe and reverence before Him. He's our Father. But He's our Father which is in heaven. And oh, to come into His light and not feel our inability, not feel our weaknesses, not feel our sinfulness, to feel like we got can come and brag and to boast. Oh no, we come because we need. He's got all the power. God doesn't need us, we need Him.
Yes.
Oh, commune with God, confess sin, and when we come to God to worship. And then he asked for mercy. He said, oh God, be merciful to me. And that word mercy there means be propitious toward me. He's looking up there at that sacrifice on that altar. It's on that brazen altar with the coals was burning that sacrifice, and the smoke was ascending up. And he saw that, said, God, by that sacrifice on that altar, be propitious toward me. Let that sacrifice take your wrath, take your judgment, take your power that's against me in its punishment, and let your wrath fall on it. Be merciful to me, and let that be punished in my stead. Oh, come to worship seeking mercy based on what Christ did. Based on that sacrifice that was offered.
Amen.
Based on that blood that was shed. Based on the merit of the blessed Son of God. Based on His righteousness alone that we come into His presence. We have absolutely nothing. The only thing we have of our own is our sin. And if we're ever accepted in the presence of God, it's because, and this is why we come to worship. Oh, this is why. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come to God through a new and a living way. Through the blood into the holiest of all. We're not told what we have to do. We come and tell sinners what has been done. That's what causes us to worship. I can't worship if I've got a whole bunch of things I have to do. I'm worried about what I need to be doing. But if I'm told that Christ, I can come to God, then I have a righteousness called the righteousness of God. If I have a merit that's infinite, that's on my account. And if God said that He will accept me in the Beloved, oh, I can gather and my heart can be free of all guilt and all condemnation.
Amen.
And I can come boldly with thanksgiving, with worship. And oh, it's possible. It's possible, beloved, for us to come up to gather together with the Lord's people and have the right intent, have a good purpose, and forget it when we get there. That's what this Pharisee did. It was right that he go up to the temple. He should have went up to the temple. He needed to go up to the temple. He went to pray, but he didn't pray at all. He didn't pray at all. He didn't go up there to pray. He went up there to boast. And how many people gather together to do that? They boast about how bad they was and boast about all the things that they're doing now. Well, that's the way this Pharisee, instead of gathering to worship, he went up there to boast. He didn't go to pray. He was a person who especially ought to remember his purpose, his errand. See, they had such a peculiar holiness and such a separatist that he ought to say, went up there and said, "Oh God, oh how merciful you are that you've made me what I am, that you, by your grace, done something for me." But he didn't do that. He went up there and started saying, "I'm thankful that I'm not like everybody else." Started bragging on himself. But oh my, don't be like that man. Don't leave here without worshiping God through Jesus Christ. He worshiped God through his own merit. So he thought.
Yes, sir.
We can only worship God through the merit of Christ. In fact, this man didn't pray at all. And it's his own words that by he'll be judged by. His own words he'll be judged by. God will treat him and judge him by the own words out of his own mouth. That's a scary thought, ain't it? Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not... Really? No, let's just judge you on that then. You're not like other men? Let me show you the inside of your heart. Let me show you why I look at you. Let me look at your righteousness here. Let me look at all these things you talk about. Now, they're just filthy rags. That's dumb that's all over you. What? Dung? Don't you see this beautiful robe? Dung. Dung. He is so full of himself, there wasn't any room for God at all. There was no room for God. No room. No room. The air told us, God help us never have that description of ourselves when we go to worship. But oh, look at this public, and we can go up to the temple, we can go up to pray, and we can really pray. We can do like this publican. First of all, the publican was a sinner. And he said he was a sinner. He never didn't try to be something he wasn't. He wasn't a sham sinner. He wasn't a sinner just from the lips out. He was a sinner in his heart. He was a real sinner. He was a God-made sinner. He wasn't one of those who have to pretend to be a sinner just to fit in. Oh no, he was a sinner. This is the one. He was one of those that the sacrifice was on that altar for. That Pharisee didn't need that sacrifice on that altar. He had everything he needed. But this publican needed that sacrifice on that altar. And this publican had a sense of need. It says he smote on his breast. This is where my problem's at. My heart. This is where my problem's at. It's in my heart. There's something wrong in here. And Father, I'm not worthy to look at. I'm not even worthy to lift up my eyes to you. I'm not worthy. And oh, beloved, that's what our Lord said. He said, this man, this publican, This one who smote his breast, this one who confessed he is a sinner, this one who needed mercy, wanted mercy, desired mercy, didn't say anything about himself, but I'm a sinner and I need mercy. Our Lord said, this man went down to his house justified. He left that temple. He left that place, went home. The guilt was gone. The sin was gone. The burden was gone. The conscience was clear. Huh? And I tell you, when the need is heaviest, when the need's the heaviest, when the heart's the heaviest, when the sense of sin's the greatest, that's when your prayer will be the truest. Huh? When the soul is the lowest, that's when our supplication goes the highest. So, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing it is for us to be able to gather. Together like we have this morning. To call on the Lord. To look to the Lord. To hear a few things said about Him. To hear the Scriptures read. To hear somebody saying, Jesus, the very thought of thee. To hear, oh, worship the King. Our Father, our gracious, gracious God, how blessed and holy is your name. Thank you for allowing us to meet here today, for the privilege you gave us, for meeting with us, for allowing us to speak your name, and speak it not glibly, lightly, irreverently, but to speak it with reverence. Reverence. You're reverent and holy. Thank you for your covenant. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your merit. Thank you for the desire to gather with the people of God to worship you. We bless you in the Lord Jesus' holy name. Amen.